Today's shiur is Masechta Baba Basra, Daf Kuf Mem Tes. We will begin on Daf Kuf Mem Ches Amud Beis, 8 lines from the bottom. Iboy Luhu Higdish Kol Nechasov. Ask the Gemara, Iboy Luhu Higdish Kol Nechasov. If Shchimera was Magdish over his Nechasim, Mahu, what will be the din? Would a regular dinim of Shchimera apply or not? Meaning, as we have been learning, that the din is that if Shchimera is Magdish, gives away all of his assets, the halacha is that if he then gets better, the din is, if he recovers, the halacha is that the gift is cancelled. The Gemara's question now is, what would be the din if he was Magdish all of his Nechasim? Will the same din apply in that? And the Rishonim give a number of explanations why Higdish Kol Nechasov should be different, and why there the din perhaps should be that even if he recovers, the gift to Higdish remains valid. One pshat, the simplest pshat, is because since we're referring to tzedaka, tzedaka is obviously always a more serious situation, and therefore perhaps the dinim, the regular dinim of a shchimera would not apply. Another explanation given by the Rishonim is because perhaps the person who was a shchimera indeed was magdish his nechasim because he was very sick and he was searching for schosim, how to have a refuah shleima, and giving tzedakah certainly is such a schos, and therefore his intent was it should be tzedakah whether he recovers or not. And maybe on the contrary, specifically if he recovers, he meant that it should be tzedakah under all circumstances. A third pshat that I saw is that we know that one of the unique attributes of a maton of a shchimera, as we have been learning, is that a shchimera, normally for transaction to be valid, a kinyan is required. Whereas by a shchimera, divrei shchimera k'ksuvim k'mesurim dami, and a kinyan is not required. But actually, such a rule also applies by hegdish, because the halacha by hegdish is that amirasoi legvaya is k'mesirasoi lehegit, and therefore there's nothing unique about the transaction being conducted by the shchimera that there's no kinyan, because such is the halacha by every situation of hegdish. And therefore the Gemara suggests that maybe questions what will be the halacha by Higdish Kol Nechasov. Mi Amrinan, Kol Agaba Higdish Kamer Matni. When a person is giving these assets to Higdish, he means it should be final. And even if he recovers, it remains with Higdish. Idilma Kol Agaba Nafshei Lagamer Matni. Since if he gets better, he certainly hopes to get better, and then he wants to be able to hold on to his assets. So even if he was Magdish as Nechasim, he was Magdish as Nechasim, if he will get better, the halacha is it will stand. It's interesting to note that regarding this question, there's actually machlokes rishonim. What is the din? Some rishonim are of the opinion, since the shchimera is the muchzik hamaitzi mechaveroi all of haraya, and therefore hegdish will not get the assets. Such is the opinion of the Rambam. The Rosh, however, disagrees, and the Rosh says that since we're referring to a question of Hagdish, so yes, when it comes to Dine Mominus, there is a rule that we always know is operative of Hamoitzi Mechavero Olav Haraya. However, here we're referring to Hagdish. When it comes to Hagdish, it's not a question of Dine Mominus, it's a question of am I obligated to give it to Hagdish or not? And the regular rule of Suffolk Daraisa L'chumra will apply, and the halacha will be that he has to give it to Hegdish. Specifically, as the Achronim explained, that here there was certainly a statement made to Hegdish, and therefore we assume that he meant that it should go to Hegdish. The question that I saw based on this is a tshuva that was asked to Chassam Sofer. Somebody had an aliyah, and in the shul where he had the aliyah, There are a number of funds. There are a number of different stock of funds. There's a fund for the shul. There's a fund for svarim. There are different funds. And this person gave a donation for a specific fund, but he forgot which fund he intended to donate to. And there was no one else there either who remembered which fund he mentioned. So now the question is, what does he have to do? And the Chasam Sofer, specifically based on the opinion of the Rosh, that says that any situation where there's a question if something is owed to Hegdish, we have to be machmer. Here says the Chasam Sofer, certainly according to those opinions, the halacha will be that you will have to give Hegdish to each of the funds the amount that was promised. But actually, the Aruch HaShulchan and other Paiskim say that even if we follow the opinion of the Rambam, that the Rambam says in the case of our Gemara, the din is that Hamotzi Mechavera Olav Araya and Hegdish doesn't have a claim on this money. Says the Aruch HaShulchan, that's only in a situation like our Gemara, where is he obligated or is he not obligated? There's a basic question, is he obligated? But in a situation where he's certainly obligated, the question that we just mentioned, it's only a question to whom must he give the tzedakah. There, says the Aruch HaShulchan, everybody would be in agreement that since he forgot who he owes this fund to, this donation to, he'll have to give to all the funds that exist in that shul. Now ask the Gemara, Hifka Kon Chos of Mao. And actually, the Rishonim debate how to understand. The Gemara is going to have a series of three questions now. And the Rishonim debate how to understand these three different questions. Some Rishonim suggest, the Ran's opinion, that each one of these questions is to be viewed as a separate question. What will be will this situation be a situation of a regular Kinyan Shchimera? That's how some Rishonim explain the Gemara. Other Rishonim explain that this Gemara, which is quite common style of the Gemara, has one question built on top of the other question, like an Imtim Tzolayma form. Imtim Tzolayma, then a situation of Hegdish Kol Nechosov. The halacha is that certainly since it's Hegdish, even if the Shchimera recovers, the money has to be given to Hegdish. Hifka Kol Nechosov Mahu. Why would be the halacha if somebody is mafker all of his nechosim as a shchimera? Mi amrin, do we say kivin the aflanim kashirim? Since he hefker applies both tanim and ashirim equally, certainly it is a situation that gomer umatni. Or again, kol gabe nafshi or gomer matni. He certainly did not intend to be mafker all of his assets if Baruch Hashem will have recovery and will need those assets. Ask the Gemara further. Chila kol nechos levani yamai. What will be the halacha if the Shchimera gave his assets to tzedakah? So here again the Mefarshim point out, if we're learning that all three questions that the Gemara posed are independent questions, so each one is a separate question, one question is not connected to any other question. But if we're going to learn that the three connect questions are built in the Imtim Tzolayma form, many Rishonim suggest that this question should actually be put before the previous question. Because first the Gemara asks, what's going to be the halacha regarding Hegdish? The next question that's asked is what's going to be halacha regarding Tzedakah, which is not as severe as Hegdish, but it's Tzedakah. And the third question is regarding Hefker. And therefore those Rishonim reverse the order of the Gemara. But there are Rishonim that say our Gemara is following the Imtim Tzolayma format, and yet the question of Hifka Kol Nechosov still belongs before the question of Chilek Kol Nechosov Laniyim. Because they explain it's more understandable that somebody who's Mafka Kol Nechosov means a stronger declaration than somebody who's Chila Kol Nechosov Laniyim. And actually, Mefarshim explained, what is this Machloikis Rishonim in the Girsa based on? It's based on what we discussed at the beginning of our shir, what makes Hegdish Kol Nechosov so unique. If we say what's unique about Hegdish Kol Nechosov is the fact that he gave it to Tzedakah, and that makes it a much more serious declaration, so then we should say the chilkon chosav aniyim, also representing tzedakah, means it's a more serious declaration. However, if we explain that what makes Hegdish Kol Nechosov so unique is, as we said, because by Hegdish there's a din of Amirasar LeGevoya K'Mesirasar LeHegid, Hefker also has such a characteristic. Because somebody's Mafker, all he does is just make a declaration, and everything he owns becomes Hefker. And therefore, according to that explanation, Hefker is much more similar to Hegdish than Chilek Kol Nechosov LeAniyim. And the Gemara explains its question. Mi Aminin, do we say Tzedakah, when since he was giving this money to Tzedakah, Vada Migmer Kamer Makni, he intended that it should be final and it should be considered a kinyan of a Shchimera? Or Duma, again, Kol Gabin Nafshi Lugaber Makni, when it comes to keeping it for himself, he'd rather keep it for himself if he, Baruch Hashem, recovers. And in all these questions, the Gemara says, Teiku, they remain unanswered. Says the Gemara, Amar Rav Sheshis, Yitoil. If the Shchemera used the word Yitoil, or he used the word Yiske, or he used the word Yachsik, or he used the word Yikne, Kula Lashem Atanahim. They are all Lashem Atana, and in all of these situations, it will be a valid way of expressing a Divrei Shchemera. So the way most Rishonim explain this Gemara is as we have been explaining, from the beginning of our sugya regarding Shchemera, we've been explaining that we have an umdana that the Shchemera means to make this gift final, just because of the concern, Shematitra Datta for love, he doesn't have to use the regular Hilchas Kinyanim, and including in that concept is even though he used these words, which are typically not adequate, not proper terminology, to create a kinyan, here they will be. That's how most Rishonim explain the Gemara. There are Rishonim that explain the Gemara, that the Gemara is not limiting itself to discussing a Shchemera, but rather this thing will even apply to a Bari, and that the Gemara is teaching us that all of these terms that we just quoted are adequate wording of a kinyan and will be effective by a bari also. Furthermore, there is a machlokes rishonim. What is the case that the Gemara is referring to? Most rishonim learn that the Gemara is saying that if Shivmera just used the word yitol, yiske, yachsik, that alone expresses his intent, and it's a category of divrei shchemera kiksum masurim dami. However, there are rishonim that suggest that the Gemara is referring to a situation that the Shchemera used the word kol nechosei l'plaini yitoil. And that the chiddush of the Gemara is that we would think that maybe the word yitoil or yiska should change and this should not be considered a full-fledged statement of kinyan. Teaches us the Gemara that it doesn't change it and it's considered a valid terminology, it's considered a kinyan Shchemera. Continues the Gemara. We learned in a brisa, af yachsin v'yeris, if the Shchemera used these wordings, which are words of Yerusha, if the person is a royal Yerushai, is a person that can be a Yerush of his, then the halacha is that it will be a good wording, because it represents the opinion of Yerucham and Breika, who we learned earlier in our Masecht is of the opinion that if you use the word Yerusha on a person who is a potential Yerush, even though he's not your only Yerush, he is called the Yerush, and here too it will be considered adequate expression. Ask the Gemara, Ibailhu. So they ask the following question. Yehen b'mahu. What will be halacha if you use the word Yenemahem? Is, again, as we said earlier, since everything that we speak about a Shchemera is based on an umdana, the Gemara's question is that do we have an umdana that when the Shchemera used this language, he certainly meant to give a gift, a full-fledged gift? Yen b'mehu, then I have a kul matana kamar. Adama, all he meant to say was lach l'sene minayim mad. He meant that they should have some benefit, but not that he meant it should be completely his. Similarly, Yerbehen Mahu, if the Shchimer used the word Yerben, Yamben Mahu, or if the Shchimer used the word Yamben, or Yishaben Mahu, if the Shchimer used the word Yishaben, what is the halacha in all these situations? And the Gemara remains with a teiku. Ask the Gemara, Ibailu, Macha kol nechas of Mahu, if the Shchimer sold all of his assets. So again, as the Rishonim frame this Gemara's question, we've been learning that typically a person is not going to give away all of his assets. And if the Shchimera, as we learned in the Mishnah, gave away all of his assets, it's only because he was assuming that he's going to pass away and he's distributing his assets. But when somebody sells his assets, so there's 2 points to take into consideration. There are a number of points actually to take into consideration. One is, again, we could say that he's selling away all of his assets because he's anticipating dying and he doesn't need them. Or we could say that he's selling his assets because he needs the money. Or he wants to make, since he's an ill person, he wants to get his assets into be liquid. Furthermore, when you're giving a matana, really the only person of interest is the person who's giving the gift. But in a situation where there's where somebody's selling, so there's a seller and a buyer. And we can't ignore the buyer's position. And therefore, ask the Gemara, if a Shchimera sold all of his assets, will the dinim of Shchimera apply? Ibailhu, Mocha kol nechas of Mahu, if a Shchimera sold all of his assets, what will be the din? Amar Yehuda Amarav. So Yehuda Amarav says, Im Amad, if he gets well, even if he gets recovers, Ein Chayzer, the regular din of a Shchimera will not apply, and he cannot retract. The Zimnan Amar Yehuda Amarav, however, other times, Rabbi Yehuda said, Im Amad, if he recovers, Chayzer, he can retract. So how do we reconcile these two contradictory statements that Rabbi Yehuda said? Says Maravalai Pliki. Had the Isna Lazuzi Beinayu, had the Perina B'chayva. It's enough to mean if he still has the money, and or he doesn't have the money. And actually, the Rishonim have opposite opinions how to learn the Gemara. Some Rishonim say, the way to understand the Gemara, is that if he still has the money, it's a proof that he didn't mean to have the sale be a final sale, and he recognized that if Mitzvah Shem, he'll get better, he'll want his money back, and that's why actually he held on to the cash, and that's why the halacha is if he still has the cash, the sale follows the dinim of a Shchimera. But if he doesn't have the money, it's obvious that he meant that the sale should be final under all circumstances, and therefore, even if Baruch Hashem he recovers, he will not be able to void the sale. Other Rishonim say, that's the way the Rashba, the Rambam learned. The Rimagash and the Ramah, Yad Ramah, argue. He says, if the Shchimera paid off his, or used up the money, then he could retract. Since, at the end of the day, he's left with nothing, and a person never leaves himself in a situation where he should be left with nothing. So that's why he could retract. If, on the other hand, he still has the cash, so he's not in a situation where he's left with nothing. He maybe doesn't have property anymore, but he certainly has the cash, and that's why the halacha is he would not be able to retract. Ask the Gemara, Ibailuhu, Shchimera Shahoydamahu. This is a very important sugya. Every sugya is very important. This is a very important sugya, and there are two very different approaches on how to learn this sugya. The Rashbam learns that the Gemara here is referring to a situation that somebody admitted that the money he has is not his money. And the question of the Gemara is, if a Shchimera made such a statement, do we say that he made the statement because he actually meant it? Or do we say that he only said it that people shouldn't think that he is a wealthy person? His children shouldn't come to the belief they're about to become very wealthy because they're going to get a very large inheritance. And that's why he made the statement, but it's not to be taken seriously. That's the Rashbam's approach in understanding Odisha. Tosfos has a very different approach. Taisa's approach is that the Gemara's question is a Kenyan Idisa? Is Idisa, is if I sit and I admit to you that I owe you money, is that considered a valid Kenyan? And that's the Gemara's question. And that's the Gemara's question. Ibailu, Shimra Shahidumahu, Toshma. Says the Gemara, the Issagiura, have a trace Alpha Izuza Bay Rava. Issagiura, as we're going to learn, was an individual who was originally a goy, who had relations with Shmuel's daughter, and Shmuel's daughter conceived and had a son, Rameri, and then after Isser converted. But Rameri, halachically, is not considered a child of Isser, because we know Gershon is Geyer, is Kekotten Shanoiladami. And therefore, says the Gemara, Issig Yair, Havlei Trace Alpha Zuzah Bei Rava. He had these 12,000 Zuz deposited with Rava. Remeri Berei. Remeri was his son. However, he was not his halachic son. He was only a biological son because he was Haras Shalai B'Gedusha V'Leis Dos B'Gedusha. Actually, as all the Mepharshim point out, the language of the Gemara is not actually precise because Remeri's mother, Shmuel, was a Jew. And therefore, when we come to determine if she's a Jew or not, he's considered a full-fledged Jew. And he was Harasa B'Kedusha V'Leidasa B'Kedusha. What the Gemara means to say, explain the Mepharshim, is that Rameri wasn't Isser's biological son because Isser was not Jewish when Shmuel's daughter, his mother, Rachel, conceived him. Obey Rav Hava. And Rameri was in yeshiva. And Amit Hashem will discuss as we get into the shir why is it important to point out that Rameri was in yeshiva. There's an interesting shaila that was asked to the Michas Yitzchak. There was a family, a father, a mother, a son, who were all non-Jewish and converted. And as we just said, that son is halachically not considered the son of his father, because Gershon is Geyer, Kekotten Shnoi L'Dami. But here we have a family that all converted together, and his father, his biological father, was raising him as a Jew. And the question that came up was, when he gets an Aliyah, he wanted to be called up by his biological father's name, his biological father now being a Jew. So the Michas Yitzchak wants to say that since we know that there's a Tshuvas Maimonides, which is quoted by the Ramah, that Kol HaMegalu Yosem B'Toich Beisoi, if somebody raises somebody else's child in his home, Kilu Yoldoi, it's considered like it's his own child. So here, where this father, even if halachically he's not his father, is raising him, maybe the halacha should be that he should be able to be called up to the Torah by his name. But then the Mitzvah is Yitzchak, and our Gemara is a proof to the opinion of the Michas Yitzchak, actually says that that should not be the din. Because the Michas Yitzchak says that in our Gemara we see that the Gemara goes out of its way to point out that Rameri was not Isser's son. Why? That nobody should make a mistake and perhaps believe that he is a real, that perhaps he is a real, that they're not Gerim, which could have serious halakhic implications, and therefore the Michas Yitzchak Paskins, he should not be called up by his biological father's name, even though his biological father is now Jewish. Amar Rava. So Rava, who was holding on to this money, says, Heichen neknin Rameri lahani zuzi. There's no way for a Mary, Rava was hoping, to get hold of this money, because Rava wanted to hold on to this money, and we'll see why Rava was so anxious to hold on to this money. Ibe Yerusha, certainly Rameri cannot get this money as a Yairish, because as we've been saying, La Ba Yerusha Hu, he's not considered a halachically, Rameri is not considered the son of Isser. Im Matana, if we should say that Isser should give this money to Rameri with a Matana Shchimera, says the Gemara,
Matana Shchemira Kirusha Shavu Rabbanim. Chazal treat a Matana Shchemira like a Yerusha. In what way? In a number of ways. Number one, Yerusha doesn't require a specific kinyan. So too does a Matana Shchemira not require a kinyan. Furthermore, Matana Shchemira is effective after the death of the Shchemira, which is the same with a Yerusha. And Alpilondis, as we've been saying, why did Chazal, or how did Chazal actually establish the din, the Divrei Shchemira K'Ksuvim K'Mesurim Dami? Because they said that just like we find that the Torah established a concept of Yerusha, a Shchemira can identify the recipient of his gift to be a Yerush. So therefore, says the Gemara, since the halacha of Shchemira is so very connected to Yerusha, the halacha will be kol hecha de ise b'Yerusha, whoever is party to Yerusha, ise b'matana, could be party to the din of matana Shchemira, whereas kol hecha de leise b'Yerusha, anyone who cannot be party to a Yerusha, leise b'matana. And there are a number of ways that Rishonim explain this Gemara. Some say that it depends on the Makabel. And in our Gemara, since Rameri, as we just said, cannot be the Yoyrish of Isser, so Rameri cannot be the recipient of Matana Shchemira. Others say that it depends on the Noisin. Since Isser is a Ger, and a Ger, Gershin is Gair, Kikotin Shnoiladami, doesn't have relatives, so he isn't a person that could be a Moirish, that could be giving Yerushas, and therefore by him there's no din of Matana Shchemira. Others say, the Ra'ah says a very interesting pshat. The Ra'ah says as follows. He says, and we've actually spoken about this concept previously. The Ra'ah says as follows. Every born Jew has a Yerush. Because if he doesn't have a son, he has a daughter. If he doesn't have a daughter, he has a brother. He doesn't have a brother. He has uncles. He has cousins. First cousin, second cousin. Every Jew, ultimately, since we all come from Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov, are somehow or another related, closer or further. The only Jew that doesn't have any relatives is a Shchemira, is a Ger. Says the Gemara, a person who has relatives and therefore is in the parusha of Yerusha, such an individual is able to be in the parasha Matana Shchemira. A Ger who could be excluded completely from the parasha of Yerusha could also be excluded from the din of Matana Shchemira. Ibn Mashicha, if we should say that Isser should get hold of this money, less negabei, he's not here to take the money. Ibn Chalipin, if it should be done through Chalipin, Taloch is emat be'enik nechalipin. Chalipin, as we learned in Masechta Bava Metzia, is not an effective means of kinyan for coins. Actually, I saw a beautiful pshat. We spoke in Baruch Hashem so many times together about kinyan chalipin. What is kinyan chalipin about? So actually, as we recall, the source for kinyan chalipin is a pasuk in Rus. Shalof, the Torah uses the words Shalof v'zois neflim v'yisrael ala gula v'atmura Shalof ish naloi. A person took off a shoe. So the Mefarshim explain, what makes a person special? A person's specialty is that he's a medaber. He has the ability to speak, and not only does he have the ability to speak, but he has the ability to be his speech is a serious, make serious statements. Which is really what, as we've always been explaining, what kinyonim are really all about. Gemiras Das. Says the Pasuk, V'zois lefnim b'Yisrael. How do you make a kinyon chalipin? Shalof ishnalo, you take off your shoe. What is a shoe usually made out of? It's made out of leather. It's made out of the hide of an animal. To say, I, the person, am different than the animal. I, the human being, have the ability to be goymer, to be serious about what I say, to be committed to what I say. That's what kinyan chalipin is all about. I agav karka, if he should be coined agav karka, less lay ara. Isser had no karka, and therefore he cannot be makna this money to remarry through the karka. So the Mefarshim ask, so why doesn't he just buy some karka in order to affect this kinyan? So the Taisus Rosh answers that nobody wanted to be makna to Isser any property, because everybody knew that Rava was trying to hold on to this money, and they didn't want Rava to be angry at them. But as the Mefarshim, Issa was obviously living somewhere, and that house should be the house of which he could do Kinyan Agav Karka. So some Rishonim actually say, based on this Gemara, the Maritz says this, that Issa did not own the home in which he lived. He only rented that home. And you cannot do a Kinyan Agav Karka only on property that you own, not on property that you rent. The Ritva says that you cannot do Kinyan Agav Karka only if the landlord gives permission. And here the landlord, again, maybe because of didn't want to cross Rava, didn't want to give permission. Another pshat that I saw is that you could only do Kinyan Agav Karka if you paid up the rent. Isser wasn't paid up rent, and therefore he could not do Kinyan Agav Karka. Even Mamet Shloshten, if Isser should maybe Isser should transfer the money to Rameri through a Kinyan Mamet Shloshten, said Rava, Ishalachli, if I will be summoned to come to Kinyan Mamet Shloshten, Loya Zilna, I will not come. So Rabbi Chanan says, even though the halacha is that if Besdin summons someone, he has to come, says Rabbi Chanan, that halacha is only if there's a dintaira between two litigants. The halacha is that a Besdin calls one side, the other side must appear. Here we weren't referring to a situation of a dintaira, just to affect the Kinyan Mamet Shloshtim. There is no halacha that if you summoned, you must come. Maskov lo Rav Ikabrei de Rav Ami, but now we get to our point. Amai, why is there a problem? How Isser could convey these coins to Rameri? V'loy de Isser da len zuzu to Rameri ninhu? Why shouldn't he teach? Why shouldn't Isser make a Kinyan Idisa that he owns this money? V'loknin of Idisa, make a Kinyan Idisa. Ad ha'chi, nafik Idisa bei Isser. Now, Isser became aware that he had this opportunity. Ikbid Rava. And Rava was upset, because by having this discussion in the Beis Medrash, that's how Isser became aware of this method. And Omer Kamagmari Tansila Inchi, people are learning the halacha, and that's how Mafsali I lost out. So now the Mefarshim say, we could understand why the Gemara says that this all took place by Rav, because it was important. How did Rameri, who was faced with this dilemma, know to report to his father of this opportunity? Because it all took place in the Bei Rav, in the yeshiva. But as the Mefarshim explained, Rameri wasn't such a great Talmud Chacham to know this halacha, but he was in the yeshiva, and because he was in the yeshiva, he became aware of this halacha, and that's how he was able to get the money. Others say that the Chazanish says this pshat. Chazanish says that Rava, why did he want so desperately to keep money that Issa really wanted to go to his son to marry? Because Rava knew that Issa was a wealthy person, and since he knew that Issa was a very wealthy person, this money would not make that much difference to Rameri to get, and he needed the money for its stalker purpose. But if Rav Mori weren't a Talmud Chacham, a person who's not a Talmud Chacham would have never understood how Rava is trying to hold on to money that really isn't his. But since the Gemara says Rav Mori was a Talmud Chacham, so a Talmud Chacham would understand what Rava was trying to accomplish, and therefore, the fact that Rav Mori was in yeshiva is crucial to our understanding the Gemara. Another pshat that I saw is based on an interesting story that happened with the Chasam Sofer. There was once a person who was in hard times, came upon very hard times, and the Chasam Sofer lent him money. The person, Baruch Hashem, his fortune turned around, and the person came and brought the Chasam Sofer back his money, and together with his money, he brought the Chasam Sofer a gift, a piece of silver. And the Chasam Sofer took that piece of silver and was saying what a beautiful piece of silver it is, what a wonderful piece it is. And the Talmidim who was sitting there could not understand what was happening here. How could the Chasam Sofer even have a Havamina to take that piece of silver? It would clearly be Ribbis interest. And of course, not long after the Chasam Sofer gave the silver back to this person, says, of course I can't take it, it's Ribbis. So the Talmidim asked the Chasam Sofer, what were you trying to do here? So he explained, to do a mitzvah is very important. But to do a mitzvah when it shows, to do a mitzvah when it's hard to do a mitzvah, that's even a greater mitzvah. So the Chasam Sofer said, therefore what I did here was, I showed that this is a wonderful piece of silver, beautiful piece of silver, that I really want to hold on to, yet because a person is now going to take Ribbis, I'm giving it back. Here too, Rava had every intention of giving this money to Rav Murray. But Rava wanted to show that even though halachically he was able to achieve that he wasn't obligated to give Rav Murray the money, he was still going to do it. So he wanted to make the mitzvah greater. That's why he wanted to set up a situation that he really wasn't obligated to give the money. In fact, the Mefarshim say this is Rava l'shitasa, because Rava Masechta Pesachim says that the wheat that's used for the matzah should first be soaked. We know that by soaking the wheat, they're easier to become chametz. That's Rava's whole attitude. That's his whole shita. V'shmatem es ha-matzvos. Make them close to becoming chametz, and then watch them that they shouldn't be. So from our sugya, it's clear that Adisa is effective. And again, as we said at the beginning of this year, there are two very different pshatim in Adisa. Either Adisa is just a haidah, or Adisa is a form of a kinyan. What would be the nafkamina? There would be many nafkaminas. We've learned that a dover shein bei mamish, a dover shaloi ba'ala oilam, a kinyan is not effective. And if Adisa is a kinyan, then Adisa would not be effective on these types of assets. If, however, Adisa is considered a situation of namonis, so then the halacha would be that Adisa could be even on Dovah Shalai B'l'Olam on an intangible. Or, if somebody is chav l'cheirim, by me being moided that this money belongs to you, a mouth of mine will lose out. If it's a kinyan, so kinyan is effective even by chav l'cheirim. If it's a question of namonis, b'makom shechav l'cheirim, namonis would not be effective. There's a very interesting tshuva in the Imre Yosher, Shalos Tshuvos Imre Yosher for Meir Arik, based on this Gemara. What happened once, that once there was a city that the priest of the city told all the goyim in the city that they knew before Pesach the Jews sell the chametz to the Jews sell the chametz to the goyim, that none of the goyim should agree to buy the chametz from any Jew, and the Jews will therefore be stuck and have to give away their chametz. Be mafka the chametz, give it away. So the question was asked to the Imre Yosher, what could be done? What kind of kinyan could be effective? And the question was brought to him that maybe they should be able to do a kinyan adisa, that there should be moida that it belongs to goyim. So certainly according to the Rishonim that say that adisa is not a kinyan, that adisa is only an amonis, it would not be effective. But even according to the Rishonim, Tosfos' opinion that adisa is a kinyan, it may not be effective here anyway, says the Imre Yosher, for a number of reasons. One reason, he says, is that some Rishonim say that even if we say that Adisa is effective, it may be only by a Shchimira, as was the case in our Gemara. There they were obviously not referring to a shchimera, and therefore it wouldn't be effective. Furthermore, he says that even if we'll say that a kinyan idisa is effective, it's only if the receiver is prepared to receive it. But if the person, if the people of the city were going to say the kinyan idisa, that it belongs to the goyim, but the goyim are not prepared to accept it, then a kinyan idisa would not be effective. Lastly, some paiskim suggest that a kinyan idisa is only effective in the last resort. And since there was, that means if other kinyanim are not going to be effective, there's no other choice, then as an al-gemar, you can rely on a kinyan adisa. But since there they had the opportunity to be mafker the chametz, it could be that kinyan adisa would not be effective. The Rishonim also ask that how could Rava attempt not to do what Issa wanted? Isn't there a halacha, a mitzvah kayim divrei ames? So the Rivam and the Ramban say, the only time that you say mitzvah kayim divrei ames is when he says the word tenu, where it was explicitly said. Here, it wasn't explicitly said, and therefore, the din of mitzvah kayim divrei ames doesn't apply. The Rabbeinu Tam, the Rajba say, that mitzvah kayim divrei ames is only where the mace wants that a yoyrish should be the recipient. Here, as we said at the beginning of the sugya, it was Rameri wasn't of Yairish, so the din of mitzvah l'kayim divrei ames wouldn't apply. Says the Gemara, we learned in our Mishnah, shayer kaka kalshahu, but if the shchimera kept himself some property, the halacha is matanos in the kayemis. Then the matana is a valid matana, because there we say he didn't give it away just because he thought he's dying. He obviously gave it away because he's going to have what to live on. Ask the Gemara Kamakoshu, how is a Koshu? Amri Hudam Raf, Kaka Kadei Pernasosoi. Enough a piece of land to support him. The first in debate, what does Kadei Pernasosoi mean? The Bali Eater says that Pidei Panasosoi is a piece of land that could give fruit and produce that will last for a year. Other Rishonim say that it doesn't have to be that much. They say that enough that you could invest from the produce that's produced from that land and keep on making income and keep on making income. And even if Metapin were left to sustain him, that would also be considered Kedei Parnasasai. Amar Zera, Kam Mechavnin Shmatza Desabi. How right is what Rav Yirmiyah and Rav Abba said. Karkatamamai. What's the reason that if the Shchimera keeps himself a piece of karka, then we say that what he gave away to rest is not a matan shchimera, because he has that karka to rely on. Similarly, matatli nami, the same din is by matatlin, he has what to rely on if he recovers, and therefore even if he just left himself matatlin, it will be enough. Maskala Rav Yosef, or my kavanosa, what is so great about these teachings? Manda Metatlin, the Manda Amma that says Metatlin, didn't our Mishnah say Karka? Didn't our Mishnah explicitly say Karka? So how could you ignore what the Mishnah says? Furthermore, Manda Amma Kadei Parnasosoi, the Manda Amma that says Parnasosoi, didn't the Mishnah say Kalshu Tanan? Didn't our Mishnah say Kalshu? So how could you say that you have to leave, that the shchimera, for the gift not to be considered matana shchimera, enough if you left, that you have to leave over kedei panasosayim? And amit Hashem, tomorrow we will answer these questions.